Julie.
Hey, Julie.
Welcome to Hey, Julie, a podcast about Big Brother and Survivor. Danielle, hello. How are you?
I haven't seen you
in so long.
I know. It's been a long time, but we haven't seen each other, but we did listen to each other's solo podcasts.
That podcast came out many weeks ago.
I know, but I
we
just
have done a podcast
it.
Since then. We did, and we actually did see each other's faces. It was just we weren't doing the live stream because my computer
forgot.
Was all messed up. Yeah.
I forgot. What's freshest in my mind is the solo podcast because that's what I listened to this past weekend.
You're like, oh wow. Izzy just
really
got evicted
good.
From Big Brother.
Yeah, pretty much. I thought it was really, really good.
I loved it. I should probably just tape some pods by myself and not release
As a
them.
Listener, I thought it was really good. But as the recorder, as the host, I much prefer doing it. Both of us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that is fun. I mean, but theoretically, the chemistry of this show is what?
In theory.
Keeps the dozens of people listening to this
in
pod.
In theory. And if you're interested in more theory and STEM, stick around because we will be talking about lessons in chemistry.
Yeah, this one's going to be all over the place. Danny was traveling. She had a nightmare weekend.
Nightmare. Everyone remembers that last week my child was sick. This week, my husband is sick.
Yeah, both
I
your
am
kids are sick.
Single-handedly keeping this household running. Where is my gold star?
But here we are potting on a Monday night. The Big Brother week is halfway over. Survivor happened days or even weeks ago.
Weeks ago.
And you and I are probably going to talk about a movie that I saw and a television show that you saw.
I mean, I have a lot of, like, the Hey Julie grab bag at the end of the episode is going to be so fun and all over the place. But before we get to that, we have to talk about Big Brother and Survivor.
Yeah, so where shall we start?
Let's start with Survivor.
If you said, I don't know, what about you? What do you think? I was going to say, let's start with Survivor. There's not too much to talk about, except for the one thing in which there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. So they broke up the tribes and distributed the Lululosers.
Which, hashtag Brett was right. I believe I said that in our previous
Well, you said
episode.
There'd be a merge, the merge.
I said there would be some sort of funny business.
Machinations. You were right. Yeah. Well, they needed to. They couldn't just keep letting Lululosers like keep voting in themselves or leaving voluntarily. So they distributed the teams. We got the new teams. One thing I'm just going to say off the top of my head, how much did you love when Bruce pretended to lose the key?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I tracked it. I was like, oh, no, he's just doing a bit because he's a dad. Oh, no, he's not doing a bit because he's a dummy. Oh, he's doing a bit because he's a dad.
That's classic dad to, like, push it too far where everyone's actually concerned. And then they're mad at you. Instead of just doing it, like, leaving while you're ahead and everyone thinking it's funny, now everyone's mad at you, Bruce.
Not the only person who people are mad at this week. We're going to save that part.
Okay.
I love that Emily ended up on the Reba tribe or whatever tribe she's on. She's with some Reba people. And Emily's like, hey, everyone, I'm normal. I'm just a normal human being here who's just an underdog, just like many of you who here can't identify with me, Emily, a normal person.
Yeah. She rebranded again.
And Drew and Austin believe it. She's like, they're like, Emily's great. I'm beginning to have a crush on Emily. Like, they're fighting over Emily. Yeah.
They thought she was evil. They thought she came across as evil and like sinister, I think was the word someone used. But then they shot it. They showed her like being goofy with a machete trying to open a coconut. and then totally were 1-on-1 over. Emily is the queen of reinvention. You know, they said it was Madonna. They said it was Lady Gaga. Every era, it's a new persona.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
She's a comedy queen now.
Yeah, she is. No Hard Feelings, now available on Netflix. Please watch it. I thought it was great. But Emily is truly the queen of reinventing herself because, as Philip G in the chat says, Emily is so real and down to earth.
Just like us.
Just like us. Us Magazine. Us Weekly.
Is that still coming out?
I think it is. Having been in two airports Yes.
It is. Oh, wow.
So she's doing great. She's fitting right in Reba.
Do you know who's not quite fitting in? What's going on with Sifu? Like,
oh, I loved Sifu had a great moment. Sifu went, Sifu. Who voted for Sifu? I actually loved it. That was great.
Sifu has been speaking in the third person a lot in this episode. And I was like, you know what? This kind of tracks. Something about him is very off as a human being. Like, but he's doing bits. He's playing guitar with, he's like talking ominously at people while holding a machete. And he doesn't know that he's coming. He's like, first of all, Sifu is like an imposing man. He does like karate and stuff. And he just like looks like a video game character of a guy who beats up guys.
Yeah.
And he's holding a machete and he's like, we better be Sifu strong or Reba strong, whatever the hell they are. And then he speaks in the third person.
I think he's just been doing that the whole time. We just haven't spent as much time with him yet. Like, he was definitely an early standout because he spoke in third person. And yeah, he talked about, like, he's kind of like, what's that? Steven Seagal-ish?
Oh, yeah,
sure. Don't you think? There's a Steven Seagal-esque quality to him.
He's
his appreciation for the Eastern martial arts, his speaking in third person. He should grow a ponytail.
Danielle, as you know, because you love Dungeons and Dragons, Sifu is sort of like multi-classing as a monk and a bard.
Oh. Oh, yes, I get that. Bard was Chris Pine, right?
Yeah.
Who was the monk?
Well, there wasn't a monk in the Dungeons and Dragons movie. Oh, well, then how am I supposed to
know what you're talking about?
Well, there are monks. They fight. They punch.
Oh, they do fight?
Oh, everybody fights in Dungeons and Dragons. Oh.
Okay. Well, I wish they would have put a monk in the film because then I would have known what that is. He's definitely got some bard to him. He's got like a himbo it. I don't know. There's something to him that's very amusing. I actually really like Sifu. I think he's like the type of character that last week I was saying I need more of, which is like less fucking nerds who like super fans and more just like cool characters.
Yeah. Or aggressive weirdos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like less heartfelt speeches about being underdogs and more like actual little freakazoid people.
To be honest, though, I'll just say with Sifu, like, I don't see him getting very far because he's kind of like an alien. Like, people just don't talk to him, and he doesn't talk to people unless he's talking about, like, his, like, death metal band or whatever that he does.
Yeah.
And, like, doing, like, meditation or I don't know. He just seems like even more so than remember, like, Jonathan,
yes.
Aquaman.
I will never forget Jonathan. Every episode of this season, I wish Jonathan was here.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Sifu's almost, like, 100% a physical player, and he's not even, like, that amazing of, like, a physical
he's
competitor
not at all.
Or anything.
That's the problem.
He's more so than, like, Brandon or whatever guy who fainted on, like, the ladder. Yeah. But, like, he just seems to, like, not really talk with anyone, and, like, every time we're with whatever tribe Sifu's in, everyone's like, man, I don't know about Sifu. Meanwhile, Sifu is like 35 yards in the distance, out of focus, just staring into the sea.
That would make him like the over the top good character for me. I am not lying. Every episode when they hit the physical challenges, I think to myself, I wish I could be watching Jonathan do this challenge because he was just so interesting to watch and how easy he made everything look. It was like we've said this before in a multitude of ways, but it is so interesting when you see like a true athlete, like a really superhero-esque athlete next to a bunch of Joe Schmoes. Not that the people on Survivor, like a lot of them are in really good shape, but like when you see the difference and how fucking easy they make it look next to all the other people who are struggling, it's fascinating. I miss Jonathan. Bring him back. We need another All-Star season. I've had enough with these newbies.
We just had one like 5 years ago.
Let's do another.
The winners. They were at war.
Yeah. But you know what? World War.
Losers and lust.
Losers and Lost.
That's Bachelor in Paradise, I believe. I think you should call that show.
I don't know. I haven't been watching, unlike perhaps you.
Oh, I haven't been watching. I watched like 5 minutes of Golden Bachelor, and I was like, this isn't hot.
Yeah. Sometimes you need, you know what? Since the Idol's been off air, there's been a lack of hotness on TV, and that's just unfortunate. What I will
say, this is a preview for like later. Jacob Elordi is in everything, man.
And we thank him for that.
He's hot. What can I say? Man, that guy's hot. He was in all of the trailers for every movie I saw.
Well, you know, they're making him happen. HBO, once they get a male star, they say he's going to be Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Wambsgans. Darth grandson. Yeah. I was on a text chain, and it was like about how someone tweeted in 2014, wouldn't it be funny if Adam Driver was the biggest star that comes out of girls?
Yeah, I saw that today, yeah.
And I was like, well, you can't really fight with Darth Vader, like, once you're cast as Darth Vader. And my friends were like, he did not play Darth Vader. And I'm like, I saw those movies. All of those movies I watched.
I was going to say, you threw out that Adam Driver played the grandson of Darth Vader. I was like, wow, Danny's like quite conversant in
intricacies
of Star Trek or Star Wars, you know, timeline and family tree.
I thought for sure he was Darth Vader.
No, Darth Vader is a different guy.
The little kid is Darth Vader, right? Jake Lloyd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jake Lloyd, Hayden Christensen. Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay, cool. So they have a kid. Who's their kid?
Luke and Leia.
Oh, Luke is the kid. And okay, so Adam Driver is Luke's son?
Incorrect. Leia and Harrison Ford get it on and get married. And he's Han Solo. You saw the movies.
I forgot.
The movie, The Rise of Skywalker, the ninth film in the Skywalker saga, is perhaps one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And it's a movie that I implore all of my friends. Most people haven't seen this movie. And I implore my friends all the time. Like, you need to see this movie because it's the most Star Wars movie to ever Star Wars. And just like every 2 minutes, something crazy happens. And everyone goes, let's go. And then they go to a different planet. And like something completely stupid and crazy
happens. Who directed that one?
That was JJ, your boy.
Oh, my boy, JJ. Darn.
Where's his Molly's game? JJ so and Aaron.
Did Luke ever have a kid?
Not that I'm aware of.
That seems like a wasted opportunity.
In like the in-between seasons of Mandalorian, he like hangs out with Baby Yoda. He like adopts him. He fosters Baby Yoda.
Oh, I love Baby Yoda. Okay.
Here we go.
Back to Survivor. So the big thing that happened this week is Sean gave up and decided to go home at Tribal Council. And he did so when like the chips were not necessarily stacked against him. Like it wasn't like he was for sure going home. In fact, going into Tribal, the ladies of Reba were like, we're going to talk a big game at Tribal about how we're going to vote you out, but we're actually keeping you. We're going to vote Sifu out. So he was going into this with the knowledge that like maybe he could go home, but it wasn't like written in stone. And he gave this like big speech. He gave a very nice speech about how he wasted a lot of his youth because he was Mormon and in the closet. I think this is like a good nice speech that I'm sure a lot of people related to. I think what people probably have an issue with is like the conclusion of the speech, which was like, now I'm going to go home because I wasted enough time. Right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the season's 20. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the feeling, of course, is beautiful and valid that he brings up. But like, he's like, and I don't want to spend another moment without my husband. You're going to see him in 2 weeks.
I know. That was the
thing. It's like night 8 or night 9 or something like that of 26. Like,
it's 26 nights. Yeah, it was night 9. It's 26 if you're nights.
Married and you're like, hey, I got to go out of town for work for 2 weeks. It's like, bye.
Yeah, pretty much. And then when you get back, you're excited to see each other. Like that, it's actually good for the relationship sometimes.
I don't have any problems with like the feelings that he had towards his husband, towards his life, as he reflected, everybody reflects. Here's the deal. Here's the thing that I'm going to where I'm going to shake out on this. Ready? Get the clap emojis ready. Survivor is not therapy.
Yeah.
Survivor is not therapy. Yes. It's great that this came up for you. Everyone, I'm sure, who goes on Survivor, whether they're there for 2 minutes like Brandon on the ladder, whether they're there for 30 seconds like Bruce last year gets hit on the head, or whether they win the whole thing or get to the end and get zero votes, I'm sure everyone has a very emotional growing experience there. That's not the point. You don't win Survivor by, like, that's not the point of you being there, right? Like, and it's great that you have that and had that realization, but, like, the point of going there is not to have your own personal, you know, realization or, like, make steps on your own mental health journey and then just decide, oh, I've made my own steps on my mental health journey and then go home in the middle. Like, I want to get your response, but I have a lot more to say about this, that, like, about how this can be prevented in the future, how this connects to other people who have left other CBS reality shows. But, like, come on, we're on a game show here. What are we doing?
I absolutely agree. What I was wondering is, like, here's the thing. This is one thing I'll push back on is this actually is what Survivor is now. Like, and I have to imagine the producers are pushing it to be this type of way and they're casting with this in mind. But what was interesting about this is, like, it's like, this is the type of thing that would come out naturally if he was, say, like, if, say, there were seven left, right? Like, this would be his story. They'd put together a nice little package about how he wasted so much time. He grew up Mormon, yeah. Da, da, da. Where he's this is the fourth tribal council, right?
Something like that.
So it felt like he was kind of like taking the bull by the horns and being like, I don't see myself winning. I'm just going to give up, but I want to make sure I get my story out. Like, I'm not going to get that package, but I'm going to shoehorn my story in and make sure that I get my, to use an overused phrase in our modern culture, my main character moment.
Jen F. in the YouTube chat right now says, sounds like a case of main character syndrome.
Yes, whatever.
Gen Z calls it. Parentheses, I'm an old, so I don't know, LOL.
I agree. I'm also an old, but I do know. I do know that it's main character syndrome. Yes, it felt very shoehorned in. And that just made it, like, obviously was authentic. Like, I don't think anyone's doubting that he felt these things and this was true to his experience, blah, blah, blah. But it felt inauthentic to the show even. Because we're used to getting people's emotional stories. But for them to do it in this way and then peace out, it's kind of like you're being robbed. It's like there's no actual emotional payoff for anyone. Because we didn't really see this guy have any arc on the show whatsoever.
It came out of nowhere. Yeah. I want to read this with this. It was in our questions for the podcast channel and our Discord. You sign up for the Discord in the description of the podcast. Bat Hot writes, I think they need to rethink the kinds of people they cast. The current era of Survivor has been too inspirational and tender, IMO. We need Gen F. That's in my opinion. We need more cutthroat crazies and chaotic players instead of people who are either too tender about the show or trying to manufacture a feel-good underdog story every season. I think that manufactured relates to what you're saying.
Yes. Oh, Philip G. in the chat says they should have a circus cannon for quitters so they can self-evict. I like this. I like this idea. I do think there should be some, not like a walk of shame, but like there should be a reason to not quit. Because we went from zero quitters to like so many quitters. And I don't like the rate at which the quitting is happening is worrisome.
I think you know what, like, and I don't want to like put gasoline on like what I thought was kind of like a gross and disgusting narrative. But when, I don't know if you remember this, but when the Survivor cast was announced and their photos were announced, you know, like a month ago, 6 weeks ago, whatever it was, there was this weird low drum beat of like, everyone on the show is a beta. Like, it was a lot of like kind of Joe Rogan, like beta cut language. Like, every, like all the boy, like all the men aren't really men this year. It's all women and like beta men. Like, I thought that was like kind of disgusting and gross. And like, you don't know what these fucking people are like or anything or whatever. Like, so I thought that was like kind of just like a lame thing. Like, it wasn't a lot, but I saw it on like Survivor Twitter and like Reddit and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this, granted, like the people who quit, it was like Hannah or whatever the hell her name was, who was just like us, was just like, I like breadsticks. And she was like out. And Sean, who like, you know, up until like literally, you know, 75 minutes into that episode, I was like, you know what? Sean's like a pretty good player. People like him. Like, he's a young physical guy. Like, he looks like he can physically, you know, withstand another month down there. But I think, I hope, you know, Jeff and the rest of the Survivor production crew, which Jeff is an executive producer on the show. Like, anytime you like, he talks about getting to know the contestants, like, he's part of the casting. He's, it's not like he should, Julie shows up day one and is like, Bowie, Howie, what's your name? She doesn't know who these people are at all. She don't care.
No.
Jeff is like, Jeff is an executive producer on the show, and he is deeply part of every single part of the process, what twists are used, all sorts of stuff. And I would imagine that he probably is like a bit embarrassed. And I think I had a coworker say that they listened to his podcast, which it's weird. They advertise it. It's the official podcast of Survivor. And yet our podcast exists. So I don't know why that happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, they are casting the wrong people. And I think Bat Hot gets at that a little bit. Like, they are kind of, they are casting for like feel good rather than like people who are crazy and want to win and would like backstab their mother to win $1 million on a remote and deserted island.
Yeah. I think they need to dip into some of the people they cast for Big Brother. The reason I say this is like, people who are on, who willingly want to go on Big Brother have something wrong with them, because like they're clearly unhappy with their lives. Unless if you're Serene and you're like a pretty normal person, but you are like a regular CBS.
That's her job. That's like her gig. That's her side gig. Right? You know how like Uber's like, get your side hustle on.
Yeah.
But drive like an Uber. CBS is like, Serene, get your side hustle on. Come on a show and be good for 3 months.
But like, there's got to be something seriously wrong with you to say, yes, I'll go on a reality show where I'm filmed 24/7 for 100 days. And like, I won't see any friends or family, any of my support system for 100 days. And I'm only going to win, I still think it's too low, 750K, even though they raised it. That's the best case scenario. But most likely, you're only going to make whatever it is they make, like $1,000 a week before taxes. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
That's like a crazy person to really want to do that. They need some of those crazy people to go on Survivor because it's a shorter amount of time. But they're still unhappy with their lives. We have too many people on Survivor who are happy with their lives.
Happy, and all they do need to do is not eat food for 8 days and be like, I love my spouse. And it's like, okay, well, grow up. Yeah. So does everybody else. Don't go on TV. I want to tie this back a little bit. It's obviously super different. Okay? It's obviously super different. But remember when the guy who was on Big Brother this season was kicked off because he said very racist things?
Yes.
Andrew, Brian, yes. Tim, whatever the hell his name was. Remember how when he did his like intro video, I was like, something about that guy is a little spicy in a racist sort of way.
Brett was right.
That was the biggest Brett was right of ever. The decade. Obviously, this is not that, right? But I was shocked and I was so upset when that thing had happened. And I screamed on this podcast about how did I know in 2 seconds and how did y'all not know in the 3 months of casting and all the background checks and all the shit bringing them on? So obviously different, but like put more thought and bring more people into, bring some people with like brain cells into the casting here. Like something about your casting is broken, not fully broken. We had Jonathan. We had Marianne. I think they just need to we got Emily this year. There's a lot of great people, but like the fact that like we're bringing on people who like are like they think Survivor is like a hotel they can check out of after a day, or like something that is kind of like very temporary. It is temporary. It's only a month long, but yeah. The fact that there have been two people this year who are just like, I'm not feeling this, goodbye. Like that's troubling. And like, they need to kind of figure out what type of people they're doing. And maybe some of their testing or audition process is maybe letting in a few more people who are just kind of like, oh, I can just kind of like unsubscribe from being on Survivor. Like I can unsubscribe from being on Netflix. And it's like, yeah. No, you're here. Philip G says they should smash a Chili's Bloomin' Onion in the face of the next Quitter product placement. Philip G, you are incorrect. Bloomin' Onion is an Outback Steakhouse product.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Incorrect.
You should get a Bloomin' Onion in your face, Philip G.
I think it's just a simple tweaking of what they're looking for. Like, I think this directive came from above of like, let's find a lot of people who are in touch with their emotions so that they'll give us good stories, right? So I think
and not just like physically threaten other players or something like that. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, they need to edit that. They need it to be, they need to find more big freaks who are like Andre the Giant. We need more Andre the Giants. Jen F. in the chat says, has that ever happened on Big Brother? Like excluding Evil Dick's second season when he walked for a medical thing. I can't recall anyone quitting Big Brother. Incorrect, Jen F. Megan in BB19 left voluntarily.
She was like, I got PTSD from being bullied or something. I don't know. Like it wasn't shaping out for her. I mean,
yeah.
Hey, like, you know what? Much like Megan, this is pretty early in the season. I still think we're like in store for like a bunch of good people to put on a great season of Survivor whenever they get to the merge and whenever they stop doing silly twists and stuff like that.
Once we get there. Yeah, it was another episode where I was like, well, these episodes are all so long, these Big Brother episodes. I mean, these Survivor episodes. And then now, speaking of, should we talk about the long Big Brother episodes?
What is this? Killers of the Flower Moon right here? 75-minute Big Brother episode? Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah. So I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw this. It was such a long episode of Big Brother. I watched them all today. So they're all kind of like a pot in my mind.
Sure.
Basically, Jag wins secret HOH. Jag not so nominates. Secret,
but yeah.
Pardon?
Not so secret, but.
Right.
Tells everybody.
He nominates Suri and Felish. But then there are two veto ceremonies.
He nominates Blue and Felish.
Oh, Blue and Felish. Sorry. Blue and Felish. Then there are two veto ceremonies. Blue wins one and Jag wins the other. So they conspire and they see that the time is right because America makes this big flop decision to try to bring in Blue. And she's like, we can go after Matt and Jag together. Like they're working against you. Blue uses this as ammo against AmeriCorps. So Jag and Blue, the veto winners, conspire to take off Blue and Felish and put up America and Corey. And it was actually very good to watch, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of going to be like the chorus with America the rest of the season. It has been this season. It's like someone who can see the full chessboard but has not really many great skills on like getting anything done. So in a vacuum, seeing that Blue is should be going after Matt and Jag. Blue is absolutely one of the next people for them to target. And, it would be in her best interest to kind of wise up to that. That's, that's America seeing the chessboard, seeing all the moves. But it's a bad, but what she did was a bad gameplay move because it doesn't actually take into account who Blue is. Blue is a lover, but like not great at Big Brother, not particularly smart, and blindly loyal to people who are bad for her.
Yeah.
In real life and in outside of it, yes. Right? So like the move itself was like textbook, it makes a lot of sense, but it doesn't factor in that Blue is blindly loyal to Jag and Matt. So it's actually kind of a bad move. So that screws them up. And it's like, well, that's an America move right there. It's like kind of smart on paper and takes into account like the house dynamics in a way that's kind of like in the top, you know, the upper echelon of people in the season, except for it doesn't actually take into account the feelings and personality of the person she's trying to make a move on.
Yeah, they and I'm kind of happy. I hate to say it. I'm kind of happy that it flopped. Because like, even though I really like America, every time she gives like a diary room session or the way she like confronts people, like I loved when Cody and Jag were like upstairs about to have their little talk and America just busts in like, why would you do this? I thought it was great. I really like her. I want to root for her. But I also think she sucks. Like, so when things blow up in her face, I can't help but like enjoy it a little bit. Because what they were saying in their goodbye messages or in their people were saying like, oh, they're just like too comfortable. They're just off under the blankets, canoodling this whole season. I agree with that. I think they need to get there. Like, in the words of Kim Kardashian, get your ass up and work. Nobody wants to work these days.
Everyone just wants to go on Survivor and quit.
So,
yeah,
it was incredibly... I mean, whatever. The tears were very satisfying when they backdoored them. Yeah. Double backdoor. Loved it.
Yeah. I mean, no, it was great. Of course. And, you know, like it, you know, it's funny to see the pipsqueak. It's funny to see America's most convincing man.
I
like the one, his one Achilles heel. He was the woman he couldn't control. He loved what he couldn't control. Yes. And like, you know,
she was crazier than him and she was his queen.
You know, like they talked, they all figured out, he figured out what happens. He knew that what happened, that what killed his game was that his girlfriend had a conversation she shouldn't have with someone else. And once they got on the block together, everyone's like, well, you're the bigger target than her. We can keep her around. She's easy to get out. Yeah. And now that you're not there, she's going to continue having fights with people and being somewhat unhinged. So, like, you know, he was great. Put up, you know what? Bring Corey back. Put him on, you know, Big Brother All-Stars.
He was amusing. He ended up being so much better than I thought he was going to be from my initial. Yeah. I thought he was very fun. I was in Washington, D.C. this weekend, Georgetown specifically. I messaged Brett saying, everyone here talks like Cody. They all talk like Cody. Corey. I think I called him Cody.
Hey, my brother. Me and my brother are going to hang out with Derek this weekend and eat some sausages.
Oh, God. I can't believe I'm still calling him Cody. Cody is an iconic name. Corey is not there yet, unfortunately. Everyone there wears like a fleece vest.
Oh, yeah.
And they are talking like they're in debate club. And it's very cute. And that's Cody for you.
Sounds like I shouldn't go to... sounds like I shouldn't go.
Cody should go to Georgetown.
Oh, Cody. Yeah. Corey too.
Yeah. I thought I also thought in his like goodbye eviction interview with Julie, he was very charming. I thought he like gave really nice answers. So, you know, like in all the opposite ways of how Jared was, I was like, oh, I bet Cody is actually... Corey is actually a good boyfriend. Like, he was saying the right things, even though you know he's on my shit list for not standing up to America, to Felish.
Listen to us, men and women. If your partner is starting a fight that they shouldn't and that they're wrong, You have to defend them legally.
Yes. But he would not. He refused to talk shit about her to Julie, even though she didn't have a good gameplay. He was just like, yeah, like she's the reason he's gone home. But he was like, oh, it was going to happen no matter what. Like, he was very, I thought, I liked the way
he was saying the right things. Yes. He was being funny. He was being affable. He's
charming.
Cody's a star.
Corey.
Yeah, I know. Can I talk about some rando things?
Yes.
I mean, everyone knows what happens.
Yeah, we know what happened.
Okay, so this is last Sunday. Sorry, last Sunday, if it's possible to remember. When they're doing the BB Comics thing, Matt is like, oh, Riley's comic book cover. She's looking mighty fine. And he's like simping for her. And he's like, see you finale night, boo. Like, what's going on? You guys were like friends. And like, there was never like any inkling of anything romantic. And Matt, as he should be, well, not he should be, but like, Matt's in solitary confinement with Felicia, like, pooping in the porta potty right now. Like,
is that what in that a cosmic was? Sense?
Oh, yeah.
She had to in poo a cosmic in there?
Sense, he's like alone. He has like a lot of spare time to like think about things. He has become convinced that like there's something going on with him and Riley. I'm just gonna say, like, let's put a bookmark in that and just like, you know, see what happens. Cause I wanna know. I was like, what are we doing?
Sometimes you have to admit, people make powerful stories in their minds. I do this. Oh, yeah. I've done this too. People make the most incredible fantasies in their minds about dark, like,
twisted fantasy.
What?
My beautiful dark twisted fantasy.
My mermaid fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
People will just like, especially if it's just like a chance and or not even a chance encounter, but like a short encounter with someone. And this can be both good and bad, right? Like, it could be, oh, you just had, like, you have this crush from summer camp, but you only overlapped for 1 week and then you both went home. But, like, in your mind, you're like, oh, but we would be married by now if
we would be married.
Yeah. And then there's opposite. There's like the negative. There's like that person who, if only you had your wits about you, you would have told them off. You would have given them a piece of your mind. Like, people, you know, like, it's fun to write stories in your mind. All Matt has had time for is writing these stories in his mind. So in his mind, he and Riley are betrothed and they will be wed once he leaves his house.
Will they be wed on finale night?
A la Bailey and what was that guy's name? Sparky?
Sparky J. It was Swaggy.
Sparky and Swaggy.
Let's
Riley's Promise. Yes, that was the name of their group. Their group was named Riley's Promise.
Who? Whose group?
It was like Jag, Matt.
They were called the Fivesome, the Handful. They were called the Handful.
A group of them made a little group called, there were so many alliances this season, but a couple of them made a group called Riley's Promise, which is like so funny to think of like these solemn men being like, we gotta keep Riley's Promise alive. Like, as if they're all troops and Riley is a fallen soldier who happens to also really be hot.
It sounds like a charity for like a soldier who died.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you protected us in Baghdad.
Private Riley's Promise.
The bomb. This Sunday mm-hmm. happened.
Yes.
A lot of things happened. First of all, Danny, I just need to know. We're going off. We're in the back half of the pod now. Yeah. How are your teeth?
My teeth are perfect. In aesthetic, they're perfect. In when I go to the dentist, I always have cavities. They're trying to get me to do this gum thing. I'm just not
gum
interested.
Is good now?
No, like the gums, like you, they they have a sensitivity that they're worried about. So they think I should see a specialist. I'm like, I've never related to Seinfeld more than being an anti-dentite. Like, I really think they're all conspiring against me to get as much money out of me as possible. Because I'm like, come on, my teeth are great. All right.
I'm actually seeing my dentist on Friday for,
you like your
for
dentist?
My cleaning. I started seeing a new dentist and I like my dentist. I know my new dentist.
Okay, well, good.
He's like roughly my age and he's like, hey, man. And I'm like, hey, dude. And we're like bonding, but like, I could tell he's like a family man and I'm not. So,
you're a heathen.
Yeah. But it's like, I'm like, but we're like friends. And he's like, I'm a family man. I am a fucking doctor. I like have a practice. Like I run a business and I'm like going to like late stage, like millennial concerts and going to Vegas and things like that with
you're
no
going
kids
to the Sphere.
Oh my god, eventually we're gonna pod in the Sphere.
We gotta go to the Sphere. I don't know why you're asking me this
Of the Johnny Mac thing, because
I know
the
but why would you ask me about teeth when the most important part about the dentist competition was that we saw present day Johnny?
I have many questions. I have at least one question.
Like Robert Pattinson, Bruce Wayne.
With the hair. So you go to a dentist and they have like, and it's a man with long blonde hair with like shoulder length hair. How shoulder are you feeling length. About this?
I would be shocked. Also, thank you, Jen F. She says, get some parodontics. I'm going to write that down if it helps with the gums. All my fellow girls with gum issues, gum issue girlies, parodontics. Let's check it out.
Danny is sensitive with her emotions and sensitive with her gums.
They are, supposedly. I have no issue. I am not in pain. I feel great. But they're telling me I got a big problem. I don't know. I guess I would just be like, well, that's a dentist. Like, I don't know. I guess I would just accept it.
I don't know why, because like if I had a female dentist and they had hair that long, I'd be like, that's a average woman's haircut. But a man with that, I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, you don't
are you
want
gonna
that
get all
hair
that hair in my teeth?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm sure he has like a little thing. Like he has like one of those like caps, like those surgery caps sort of thing.
A little top knot. Like,
so they said like on Thursday, they're like, get ready. It's Johnny Mac's spooky dentist competition on Sunday. And Johnny Mac, who I still follow on Twitter, he's like the only Big Brother house guest I still follow on Twitter, mostly because he doesn't tweet. So I wouldn't know to unfollow him, but he's tweeting about it. He's like, I'm back on Big Brother, people. And I thought like, I don't know why I thought he would like be there in person. And they're like, literally like, hey, get your phone out, hold it sideways, hand it to the receptionist at your practice in Pennsylvania where you live, and just like read these three lines.
Yeah. It was a lot Kesar.
And also like we're gonna put this like spooky like CCTV filter over it. Yeah. So we really cannot, like, you can even use a bad iPhone from like 10 years ago.
It would actually help us if you did.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, just what we thought, like, remember how Kesar was on this season?
Yeah, and he was just like, he was like, three, you just won, got 12th place in the thing.
We thought that was low. This is a step down from that. This was a step down from that. I really think people should do a side-by-side comparison of Johnny Mac and Robert Pattinson as the Batman, because it looks very similar to me.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I don't totally see it. Johnny Mac's blonde.
But his hair looked dark with the filter.
But it wasn't.
Okay, sorry.
It wasn't that color.
I'm sorry, it wasn't 100%.
I can tell. This is the blue, the blue or black dress. Like, I know with that filter, but like, that's still blonde hair. He's like, doesn't have jet black.
It's like a dirty blonde. It's a dirty blonde.
I don't want his dirty blonde hair in my teeth.
I didn't
get
like
a haircut,
this competition.
Boy, damn.
I didn't like this comp at all.
I thought it was pretty fun.
I thought it was too long.
We have a question in the Discord. Tullinator asked, why was everyone so bad at the dentist comp? I didn't think it was that hard. I wish they would have said how long it actually took.
I agree.
I watched these and I'm like, this was really easy. All you have to do is just like literally count and then you go back and you do it. And every single person, even Jag, who won, had some struggles.
It took them all forever. Every single time, it was like frustrating to watch at a certain point. And wasn't this in the long episode? It felt like it. This was
no, it was on Sunday night. It was regular time Sunday night. No, there was the spinny one was the long one. Oh, like, okay. Oh my gosh. Oh my Lord.
We got a great question in the chat. Philip G wants to know, which past house guests would be part of Danny's promise? I mean, you're not, this won't surprise anyone. Glenn. Summer of Steve.
Summer of Steve, yeah.
Cliff Hogg. Kevin. And Felicia. Those are my Danny's promise pack. Thank you for taking a walk down memory lane. Should
we talk spoilers and then we can talk about stupid TV and movie stuff?
Yes, please do. I don't actually know the spoilers. I was looking.
Well, there's not that much to know. Okay. I mean, yeah. There's not that much to know. I mean, at the end, Jag nominates America in Blue. Mm-hmm. Though he says in his DR, Blue is actually his target. That'll be a fun moment for America, who's like, girl, I told you so a week ago, and your mouth is why Corey's not here. I mean, not that Blue cares that Corey's not there. So, he nominates them. And guess who wins veto, Danielle?
Who won veto?
Jag won veto.
Oh, no. Jag is going to
win every competition the rest of the season. Jag won veto. He didn't use it. And America and Blue are going to be sitting there on Thursday night. I haven't really been keeping up too much with like the specifics of the feeds in terms of like who people are going to vote out. I guess like if he wants Blue to be the target, I would imagine that Matt would vote that way. I kind of just depends where Bowie and Felicia and Cerie shake out on it. So it's up to them. We're kind of steamrolling towards, it's funny because, you know, a month ago, 2 months ago, we were like, man, Cerie is like, just hand her the 750K. Yeah. And now it's just like hand Jag the 750K. I'm having a hard time, you know, unless it's like the Matt Jag Bowie final three and Matt wins the final HOH and sends Jag home. Like, I'm having a hard time seeing how anyone other than him could win.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking this episode when there was a lot of like the Minutemen, or not this episode, this past week of episodes, there was a lot of like Minutemen content of Matt and Jag together. I just was like, you know what? I actually am kind of rooting for them. I wouldn't mind if they won. And then it cut to like Cerie and Felicia. And I was like, ooh, I like them too. I don't mind if they win.
Yeah.
And then they showed this great shot of Bowie Jane. And I thought, wouldn't it be amazing if Bowie Jane won? Of those five, I actually would be tickled. Maybe not. Yeah, tickled pink, I will say, if any of those five win.
And America as well. No.
Not really. I just don't think she, like, yeah, it would be kind of funny if she ends up there, I guess.
I mean, I don't know. It's equally as funny as Bowie Jane. It's not as funny as Bowie Jane.
No, it's not as funny, actually. It is so not as funny as if Bowie Jane won. Oh, yeah. Jen F said, what? No Frenchie in Danny's promise?
In Danny's promise.
I forgot Frenchie. I also forgot Bowie Jane. Sorry, forgive me. Bowie Jane's definitely up there. Okay, so looks like Blue's gonna go, but you never know. This is a very flip-floppy cast. They've always been flip-floppy.
Like even, you know, it's like if Jag says he wants Blue out, why doesn't Felicia and Cerie be like,
they should do what they want to do. Yeah. They're the votes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is there anything else about Big Brother?
No, who cares?
Julie's look was a knot.
So Julie's look was, I wrote down a sort of Carmela Soprano at a funeral look.
Yes, I could see that. I could see that.
It was like, yeah.
It was black dress. Her hair was half up. It was a lot of like turquoise jewelry, chunky jewelry. I don't know. It was just like not, it was like very mid, I would say.
I'm going to give it a soft hot.
Oh, wow. It's a not for me.
Yeah.
I don't accept boring. We watched some other things this week and some things that are very different. Brett, since yours was so long, should you start?
So I'm going to talk for the next 3.5 hours about Killers of the Flower Moon in honor of its 3.5 hour runtime. Spoiler free. I saw Killers of the Flower Moon on Friday night and it was great. Mm. That movie is good. That movie is also very long. Take that into consideration. try and see it in a theater, because I, you know, I think with the runtime, I think, you know, and because Apple produced it, I would imagine it's going to be on Apple TV within the next month or two or something like that. You know, it might be a bit of a struggle to watch, like on your couch, and you're like, oh, I could look up my phone or whatever. But man, this movie is really good, and the acting is incredible. Whoever Lily Gladstone is, who I'd never heard of before, who's like
me neither,
the lead of this movie with Leo, is incredible. This woman's amazing. Just give her the Oscar now. Holy shit. Really like important movie about like one of America's two original sins, like,
which is
Marty's slavery is the first one.
Okay.
What's not pictured one? In this one, and like the massacre of the indigenous people.
Oh. Like, oh. I was like, I'm looking for a history lesson.
Yeah. Oh, you wouldn't know. You're in Canada, everything's been fine.
Yeah.
If no, but it's just fantastic. The acting is great. You know, everything about it is great. It's like a really thought-provoking and like emotional movie that I've just been thinking about a lot for the last few days. Like, I don't think I'm going to be firing this one up a lot in the rest of my life, because it is like pretty heavy and it's a slog, but it's always moving, even at its slow points. It's like, it's very methodical, and I want to talk about it with you eventually, but like there's some stuff later in the movie that's like great and like surprising, and I can't recommend it enough.
Okay, in my mind, it's a lot. It's sort of similar to The Power of the Dog. So how would you compare
it? No, I hated The Power of the Dog.
I know you hated The Power of the Dog.
The Power of the Dog was The Power of the Dog is probably half the runtime of this movie,
yeah.
And it was slower. The Power of the Dog, just nothing happens. This, all sorts of stuff happens.
Okay, killers. I love when stuff happens.
There are killers in this movie.
And moon.
It's the first word of the title.
Okay.
Oh, I'll tell you, there's killing in this movie.
Okay.
You know, I guess if folks don't know about it, it's based on a true story of a bunch of murders that were happening in and around the Osage people who were relocated to Oklahoma, I suppose, in the 19th century. And they become very rich. They live on this land that has a ton of oil. So all these Native American folks become super rich. And then, of course, all the white people come in like hordes trying to take their money and kill them. And like, you know, it's they do bad stuff.
I didn't even know that was the plot. I honestly have no clue.
Oh gosh. Yeah. No, it's really interesting. No, I mean, this is based on, these are based on real murders. These are real characters that happen. I'm sure much of this is dramatized.
Right.
But it's kind of based on this moment where they, you know, and it says like in a card towards the beginning of the movie that like the Osage people were per capita the richest people in America in like the early 1920s because of all this oil money that they kind of lucked into by virtue of this other horrible thing, which was them being relocated by the government decades earlier. So it's really interesting. You see the the first half hour of this movie takes place in this town where all the Native American folks dressed up really nice and have really nice car, like 1920s cars and stuff like that. And all the white people in the town are like, they're chauffeurs and the people like trying to sell them like a picture, like, hey, will you, you know, take a picture in my booth, you
right.
know, so like, and they're all the service workers, and it's a really interesting like flip and juxtaposition. And then obviously like all the Native American folks are also getting murdered on the side by these white people, and you don't know who's doing the murders, and it's all to get like access to their oil money and stuff. So it's a really interesting and just well made and like wonderfully acted film, and obviously Marty knows what he's doing.
We have to support Marty. We have to support one of our oldest auteurs, American auteurs. He's been around. Yeah. He's given us so much. I support him.
He's given us many TikToks.
Yes,
he's given us many quotes about the Marvel movies that he has.
And
not
for
seen.
That reason alone, I think we should support him.
Yeah, of course.
I also watched some stuff this week.
Tell me what you watched.
Well, I remember I said it in one of our Discord channels. Well, so first of all, I am watching The Morning Show. I'm back on The Morning Show train. I've talked about it a little bit. This show is so fun because it's just so crazy. And like the writers, I can tell, are like, how are we going to top ourselves? Like, well, we put Reese in space in the first episode. And now like the morning show started as like the Today Show scandal, like from a narrative drama point of view, right? Like it was Matt Lauer, Katie Couric, and then whoever the hell Reese Witherspoon is supposed to be. But so now, after a season
Savannah
of that.
Savannah Guthrie.
Pardon?
Savannah Guthrie.
Yeah, maybe. After a season of that, like, Steve Carell's gone, right? Like, they fired him, and he's also dead. So.
Oh, my God.
Spoiler alert. But so, like, now they're just like, okay, what other bad things could men do that we can, like, make drama out of? So now, like, Jon Hamm is on the show as Elon Musk, but, like, Elon Musk-esque character.
Yeah.
And he and Jennifer Aniston are hooking up. It's very sexual. And there's like this other character played by Greta Lee, great actress, who's a top producer at the show. But for some reason, she also used to be like this tech wizard. And she was at Stanford when Jon Hamm's character had a student accelerator. And in the accelerator, she made up this incredible piece of tech for anarchists to use against like government surveillance, but then Jon Hamm stole it and sold it to the government, and that's how he made his money. But like, we're supposed to really connect with this, and I'm like, I don't think this matters. Like, it's so stupid, but they make it out. They have to find a way to make someone as evil as Matt Lauer, and it's just like so incredible to watch them try.
Here's one thing I have heard about this season is that an episode ends on a cliffhanger of, does Reese Witherspoon's character die in outer space?
That's the first episode, Brett.
I heard about it. I'm like, this is not for me. This show's dumb.
So first, also, Reese is at the insurrection. They send Reese to the insurrection.
Is Luke there?
She goes,
is Cameron
she's like,
there?
She's there with like her iPhone, like filming the news. Like, it's
she's,
so good.
She's a real journalist.
Oh, it's so good. It's so funny. Okay, so there's that. Then I also watched the first episode because I've been seeing a lot of ads for Lessons in Chemistry, which is on Apple TV Plus. Okay, so Apple TV Plus. It's got some real clunkers, is all I can say. I know that people love this book.
Expensive clunkers as well.
How could this one be expensive? I know people love this book, but I don't understand how you could. This show felt, I said to Brett, like it was an AI bot, like an AI robot wrote like a 1960s rah-rah girl boss show. Like, it just feels completely untethered from actual human emotion or, like, anything. It's, like, all the worst pastiche, like, all the worst Mad Men parts, all the worst, like, I don't know.
But not with, like, an actual, like, opinion or point of view on any of those things.
Well, other than
we're going to solve the 1960s problems today.
Yeah, like,
here,
hey,
on your
sexism
television.
Was bad. Hey, racism was also bad. And it's, like, yeah, I agree. But like, also, what else are you doing with this show?
Yeah, I listened to a podcast that described the first two episodes of this show. I will never watch a second.
Convoluted, Brett, because it's like Brie Larson plays a fucking nerd. She plays like a scientist. Okay. So she's a scientist. But of course, they're not going to let her near the beakers because she's a woman. No. She has to make coffee, but she makes it in a special way because she understands science. And so everyone's like, oh, she makes the best coffee. But so she ends up like becoming the host of this TV show about cooking. But she sneaks in science, so it's like the housewives are learning. And it's like
girl boss wins. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how they didn't even get the food porn aspect right. Like, if there's a show, like, you know, it's like Julie and Julia, show me the butter in the pan.
The bear is like, we're gonna watch. You're gonna get aroused watching this woman make an omelet.
I want to see people eating the food and enjoying it. But the problem is like, yeah, also Reese's character, I mean, Reese, Brie, her character is a little
What are we? Where do we shake out on Brie? Because like,
I'm a fan of Brie.
Someone who like in these earlier films, like even like 21 Jump Street, she is like so naturalistic and beautiful and like funny and like just her being literally fucking Jonah Hill's romantic interest in like a stupid like cop comedy thing. She's like, you're like, this woman's amazing. She's obviously amazing in Room.
Fab.
But some of this other stuff, like the Marvel stuff, the freaking Nissan commercials or whatever.
That's the problem.
She's
just
like, she's weird and would, like something about her is like off. And like, I think she might be like really weird.
She lost her mojo because of the Marvel movies. That's what happened. And she has to fight to find it back. And this is just a stepping stone. Hopefully she finds it back. But like, yeah, she's a fabulous actress. But this is a weird character. I don't think it's her fault. I think this is a poorly done show. Like, I really don't think it's her fault. The guy in the show is also weird. Like, they do the thing where it's like, this is a show for women, so we're going to show the main love interest shirtless and wet in the first, like, two scenes.
That's what we're doing on the Hey Julie live stream.
But the problem is like, he's also fucking weird and just... It's these two people, and they don't have chemistry together. Yes.
Is this the Lewis Pullman character? Mm-hmm. Well, can I spoil for you what happens in the second episode of the show?
Yeah.
Jen F. in the chat says that episode two cliffhanger had my jaw on the floor. So, again, I have not seen a segment of the show. I've just had it described to me. Episode two is like an hour-long romance about how Brie Larson and Lewis Pullman fall in love and start a life together. And there was no indication that anything would ever go wrong. And then in the final shot of the episode, Lewis Pullman gets hit by a bus and dies.
I'm so over. I'm so over the way they do these types of deaths too.
Yes. Yes.
I don't think it's cool.
Not everything. Yeah, so it's not cool. Not everything has to have like a cliffhanger. Like, how about you tell one story instead of just thinking about like, what's the most fucked up thing I could put? Okay, I'm telling a story. I'm telling an 8-episode television show or a 10-episode television show. How about you just come up with a good story instead of coming up with a bad story and then being like, what's the most fucked up thing that can happen to these characters every 45 minutes? Because that's when the episodes end and I have to start a new episode. Like, how about we don't? Like, every episode of Mad Men ends with like someone smoking a cigarette and looking out a window and being like, huh.
Remember the
life's weird.
Remember the previews for Mad Men?
No.
The previews were so good because they were exactly that. And like everyone loved Mad Men. We watched it and every week we were like, oh my God, what's going to happen next week?
I still love it, yeah.
But the previews were like someone smoking a cigarette and going, I'll call him. Like, they were like the most like, sounds good. Like, it just absolutely nothing.
Have you read the descriptions of episodes of, like, official descriptions of episodes of Mad Men, like, on whatever streaming thing they're on?
No.
Or, like, on the DVDs or whatever? The official description for every episode of Mad Men is, like, Don takes a meeting. Roger has a phone call. Peggy tries out something new. And it's like just that. And you're like, what? And like, as someone who's watched Mad Men all the way through multiple times, you can just read that and be like, I guess she does that.
I definitely do.
Very Don accurate. Does have a meeting in this episode. He has a meeting, many meetings in every episode. But like,
Philip G's in the chat says, What about Buddy Games?
Buddy Games.
You know, we don't watch Buddy Games, but I did. Never. One last little thing I watched was The Burial, which is on Prime Video.
With Jamie Foxx and Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee Jones. I just think if you want like to be brought back to the 90s, you're like, I need a courtroom, like a dramedy.
Drama.
Two top of their game actors. I mean, I want to see Jamie Foxx be a fucking smooth talking lawyer. I want to see Tommy Lee Jones as an elderly gentleman who's raised his 13 children and just wants to pass his funeral home business on to them. Like, that's what I want to see, actually. I highly recommend it. It's like a tight, you know, it's like tight 90 minutes. unlikely duo with them becoming friends. Like, it's just very good. It's very good.
I should watch it. I recently had a number of friends over to my apartment a couple weeks ago who had not seen A Few Good Men, written by Aaron Sorkin. And we all had a Few Good Men night and we all watched it. I've seen it many times and they all loved it. So I should, speaking of 90s,
I wouldn't court say it's thrillers. Up there. I wouldn't describe it as written by Aaron Sorkin. It's written by a friend of Aaron Sorkin's, you know? It's like Aaron Sorkin's college roommate maybe wrote it.
Yeah.
But so that's it. That's all I got.
I love it. This was a fantastic episode.
It was.
We're back. We're back on our bullshit. We're mm-hmm. back here on YouTube doing it.
Well, technically we were back last week, I guess, but I...
We were not. We were not on YouTube. We were back, but...
Yeah. Thank you all so much for listening. You can always tweet at us, Hey Julie BB on Twitter. You can send us an email, heyjuliebigbrother@gmail.com, and you can join our Discord, which is now extra exciting because we have custom emojis in the Discord.
Yeah. Was it 306? Is that the person's name? Who made some custom emojis in there? I'm really like beginning to basically be done with X and I've really been enjoying the Discord. I kind of wasn't paying attention to our own Discord for a little bit, where I was like just posting when it was like a new episode came out. But I'm back on it, and thank you 306 for making some emojis.
Thank you so much.
I'm not even going to reach out to you. You just got to listen to this. 306, you spelled YouTube wrong in one of the emojis. So fix that. I don't know how to do that. So do that. Join us on Discord. It's fun. We're there. I'm there. That might not be a selling point. The link is in the description on the various things. Danielle, going to miss you. Take care of your teeth.
Thank you so much. Bye, Julie.
Bye, Julie.